The Lord be with you. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said unto his disciples, If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Christ, in their own native tongue, in the language that they could understand, language that these people that were hearing of the gospel, that they could hear and that they could believe. And I have to stress this fact because the miracle of Pentecost wasn't simply about the apostles speaking in another language and different tongues, known tongues. And I have to say that they especially weren't speaking in unintelligible languages, unknown tongues. A strange tongue that had never been spoken of or heard of before, that is so commonly practiced by other groups today. There was no need for special interpreters on this particular day. Everyone there, as different as they were, they heard the gospel in their own native language. From men who were uneducated, from men who were fishermen, from men that were raw. But these men spoke in a language that they didn't know, but that the people could understand because it was their own native. They heard the gospel of Christ for them. They heard the gospel of Christ for them. They heard of the wonderful works of God. I love the last verse in our epistle lection because verse 11 is really what Pentecost is all about. It wasn't the speaking of different languages. It was everybody heard in their own language the wonderful, the mighty works of God. They heard the gospel of Christ. For them. And knowing the rest of the story like we do, if we continue, and all of us have continued to read on past verse 11, and we know exactly what happened through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter got up, and a man who just recently, what is Peter known for? Denying Christ three times. A gentleman who just denied Christ three times over, I do not even know this man, got up with holy boldness from the upper room and he preached this magnificent sermon. The sermon so powerful by the power of the Holy Spirit because everybody, they heard it in their own native language. It said that it cut them to the heart. And their response was, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every single one of you. So knowing the rest of the story, after verse 11, we know that 3,000 people that day heard the gospel of Christ, and they believed, and they were baptized that day. They were brought into covenant union with Christ through baptism. The church grew by 3,000 souls that day. And all we want to do is focus on tongues. And yet, as amazing as all of this is, I'm always more amazed at all that is so often overlooked in this account. We focus on such a minute detail that we completely miss the reality of what's actually going on here. So often we hear that the Holy Spirit gave these men power from on high, and we automatically assume that the power that it is referring to is the ability to speak in tongues, the ability to speak in known languages, in a different language other than their own. And while I certainly don't want to take away from this miracle, there is so much more to it. Your Lord Christ promised these men, these same men, on the very night in which he was betrayed, that even though he was going away, he was going to send to them the Holy Spirit. We heard that in our gospel lesson today. He was going to leave them, but he wasn't going to leave them alone. He was going to leave them his peace, his comfort. To be sure, this peace that he had promised them wasn't a peace like the rest of the world gives. It's not like a peace that the rest of the world understands. This wasn't a peace that simply consisted of everyone getting along or playing nice or feeling happy or feeling content. No. It's not what this peace consisted of. He was giving to them his peace, a peace that surpasses all human understanding. And keep in mind, my friends, this peace that Christ was giving them was pointing to and flowing from his cross, his all-redeeming sacrifice. And it is only through his cross that we now have peace. And this takes us all back to that first Pentecost Sunday. They needed this peace. They needed this peace. These guys are all sitting in a room, one room together. It's safe to say that because of what the witness of Scripture is before this event, especially in the Gospel of John and John chapter 19 and 20, that these men, they had locked themselves in. They had locked themselves in. After all, this is what they have, of course, done immediately after Christ's death. So it was certainly nothing new. They were in fear for their lives. Not only were they fearful, but they were bewildered. And I know we think, yeah, but Father Steve, they had just seen Christ ascend just 10 days later. Yeah, I know that they had just experienced Christ ascend 10 days earlier, and I have no doubt that they were shaken and they were confused and they were even scared because of it. I mean, we know what they were thinking the moment that Jesus, just a few moments before Jesus ascended. They stood atop of that ascension mount 10 days earlier, and they asked Jesus if he was now going to finally restore the kingdom, the earthly power and the earthly majesty to Jerusalem. That was their mentality, that was their mindset. Completely overlooking what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus actually meant. They're still worried about earthly glory and earthly majesty. They thought to themselves, was he now going to finally pull the trigger and get rid of those wicked Romans? Was he now going to finally pull the trigger and finally get rid of all of those wicked Pharisees and those hypocritical priests? You know, the religious establishment. Was that his intent now? My friends, 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, and they still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. I still didn't get what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was all about. Even after they had met with Jesus and that they had interacted with Jesus over the course of those 40 days, and my friends, they still went fishing alone. Didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't know what to do with all of this news. They didn't have a clue. And now Jesus here is ascending into the heavens and disappearing from their sight. Sure, they thought to themselves, this is it? Now what? As I said, I have no doubt that they were once again huddled up behind locked doors out of fear and uncertainty. I mean, let's face it. They thought they were going to be a part of a mighty militia behind a Messiah that was going to restore and redeem Jerusalem to its former glory. You can almost say, like we so many times experience, nothing was working out the way they had planned. Nothing was working out the way they had expected it to. And I want you to understand this, my friends. I want you to pay attention, because this is what's significant. This is where the Holy Spirit finds these men. This is where the Holy Spirit finds these men. This is where the Holy Spirit gives them power from on high. Beloved, the power from on high wasn't merely to speak in different languages. It was the power of salvation to all who believe. It was the power of the good news of Christ crucified and resurrected. It was the power of Christ's peace, peace that knows and holds fast to this cruciform truth. Paul even got it in Romans chapter 5 when he says, now we have peace. All because of the reconciliation we have through Jesus Christ. This is why we're told that Peter and the apostles were lifting up their voices and boldly proclaiming the law, gospel, truth of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit hit them, they weren't afraid anymore. Reminds me of Macaulay Culkin. I'm not afraid anymore on Home Alone. They weren't afraid anymore. Men who were fearful, men who were uncertain, men who didn't have the unction or the power in themselves to do what God had called them to do, and when the Holy Spirit came, they burst forth in boldness. 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 By God's grace, through the working of the Holy Spirit, they were finally able to understand what the mission and the ministry of Christ, what the life, death, and resurrection of Christ was all about, and what it meant for them and for all of the children of Adam. Through the God-given gift of faith, they now had a peace that surpasses all understanding. And understand that. I mean, from where they were coming from, men who were fearful, men who were afraid, men with an uncertain future, they now had the power to boldly and unashamedly proclaim Christ crucified. What was the worst you were going to do to them at that moment? Make them wake up in heaven? Is that all you got? That was their mentality. From fearful to boldness. And here's the thing for us to remember today on this Pentecost Sunday. the peace that they had, the peace that they were given, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the peace of Jesus Christ. It's also our peace. It's also our peace. What do we recite in the Creed? One holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. What's theirs is ours. The very same peace that Christ gave to the apostles, my friends, He gives to us. The very same Holy Spirit who brought and bestowed this peace, this confidence of this confident joy of faith in Christ, it comes to us to do the exact same thing inside us and through us and with us. Now I know that some of you will disagree with this, no doubt. After all, the Holy Spirit isn't working the exact same way today as He did then. I mean, look around. Right? Look around. There's no great rushing tempest of wind. Is there? There's no fiery tongues. There's no foreign languages. There aren't great masses of foreigners amongst us this morning, is there? I don't know what the future holds, but I do believe it's safe to say that we won't be doing 3,000 baptisms today, right? And yet, the Holy Spirit still comes to us and works in us and on us the peace of Christ. And I know you've heard this before, but bear with me. Look no further than right here, this altar. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. My friends, here is Christ right where He tells you to look for Him. Right where He promises to be, in His Word and in His sacraments. His peace, His absolution is spoken over you at confession. You hear it in your ears. It's real, my friends. It's real. It's tangible. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is real. Look to this rail. Look to these elements this morning. Look and listen. Christ is working in you His peace. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body. This is my blood. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Think about it. What peace we have as we come before the Lord of heaven and earth, and with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we receive these gifts and offer up our sacrifice of thanksgiving to Him. Friend, it's beyond our understanding. Yes, I know. It's a peace that can only be known through the humility of faith. But wait, there's more. There's more. Don't just look to the altar, don't look to the rail, don't look to the pulpit and lectern. Look to your baptism. Look to your baptism, for it is in these simple waters that Almighty God Himself brought to you His blood-bought victories over sin, death, the grave, and the devil. Look to your baptismal waters. It's not me that says this. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Everything that people say baptism doesn't do, Paul says it does. Listen to Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him and by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. If we have been buried with him, we will be resurrected with him. We already know how the story ends, don't we? Christ lives. The victory is won. It is finished. I'm a baptized child of God. You are a baptized child of God. We have both been baptized into his victory. So we should look at the world. We should look at the opposition of the world. And we should be as bold in the world today as the apostles were back then and say, what's the worst you're going to do to me? Thumbs down me on Facebook? Make fun of me? Fire me? Go ahead. What's the worst you can do to me? Make me wake up in heaven? To live is Christ, my friends. To die is gain. What's the worst you're going to do to me? That's all you got? Where's the boldness of the church to stand in a culture? We say we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We want the power of God to flow through us. But the fruit of the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. The fruit of the Spirit is standing before a culture that hates you in boldness to proclaim the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, like the apostles did. Where's the boldness? Where's the fervor? Where's the fire? Brothers and sisters in Christ, by virtue of your baptism into Christ, this is your reality too. We don't have to pray for any more revivals. You have to be the revival that the Spirit has birthed in you when he regenerated you and brought you into his kingdom. Stop praying for revival. Start being the revival. That's why Christ redeemed you. So that you too could go out into the world and mightily proclaim the wonderful works of God in the proclamation of the gospel. We don't need another Pentecost. It's already come once. We just haven't lived in that or understood what that means because we're wanting to banter over minute details of the reality of what really transpired that day. By virtue of your baptism into Christ, my friends, this is your reality too. This is your peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and it's a peace that can never be taken away from you. No amount of persecution, no amount of enmity, no amount of anything. This cannot be taken away from you. So whether you have just graduated and you're heading out into the real world, like a lamb to the slaughter, don't mean to spoil it for you. Whether you're healthy, Whether you're sick, whether you're ill, whether you're diseased, whether you're suffering, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're lonely, whether you're depressed, whatever the case may be, you belong to Christ. Say it with me, I belong to Christ. I don't think you believe that. I got more action out of watching an oil painting dry. I belong to Christ. With holy boldness, I belong to Christ. The same Spirit that filled those apostles to proclaim the truth on that Pentecost day resides in you. I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. My friends, be bold. Walk in the peace that Christ has won for you. Walk in the power that He has bestowed upon you to proclaim the gospel. We are not little Christs. It's not what Christian means. We rely on His power as we do exactly what He calls us to do. And that is to be His mouthpiece. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You, my friends, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are the voice of the Good Shepherd calling out to the nations to call to Him His sheep. And if He so chooses to use you to speak in a foreign language that you were never taught, so be it. But that's not the miracle of Pentecost. It's men who were fearful became emboldened by the power of God to do what they in themselves could not. This is your peace, and this peace can never be taken from you. You bear the name of Almighty God on your head and in your heart, marking you by virtue of your baptism, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the Lord, and nothing and no one can take that away from you. May this unwavering, unfailing, unconditional baptismal peace of Christ Jesus, may it guard your heart. May it keep your hearts. May it keep your minds in Him now into all eternity. So this Pentecost, let's not pray for revival. Let's understand what truly happened on Pentecost and now go forth in the powerful gospel peace of Christ Jesus given to you by the Holy Spirit. Go and be unafraid and be at peace, which is the true miracle of Pentecost. Your vote ain't going to change our culture. Your boldness in the gospel will. In the name of Jesus, amen.